to Colossians 3. This great book by Paul is rich in theology and practical in its application. The first couple chapters deal with who Jesus is and the spiritual realities we have as believers in Christ. The last two chapters seem to deal with the implications of our Christian life based on what we know about Jesus and what he's done. Those who have received the gospel have been rooted and now need to be built up in the gospel. We need to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Listen one more time, and we might do it again. This great description of who Jesus is found in Colossians 1, 15 through 20. Jesus, the Son, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn over all creation, firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself, all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood and shed on the cross. And then Colossians 1:27 goes on to talk about this mystery that's come to the Gentiles. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have this incredible, majestic description of who Christ is, the very image of God, who's now in the believer, our hope of glory. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the last few verses of Colossians 2, and we saw the freedom we have in Christ, and just a reminder that our freedom is in Christ, the cross of Christ. It's not in rule-keeping. It's not on religious experiences. It's not on not doing this or that, you know, and just rigidly controlling ourselves. It's not in any of that. It's in Christ. We can't come to Christ on our own effort. There's nothing we do or can't do that brings us to Christ. It's all that he did. When he said, "It is finished," he paid for our sin. Now we have to embrace and confess him and follow him. So, last week we looked at the last four verses. And in chapter 3 it says, "Since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Just incredible verses of how we've been raised with Christ, we've been died with Christ, we've been hidden in Christ, and one day he will bring glory to us in his glory and take us to glory. So when we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus, we're justified or declared holy. Jesus gives us his righteousness in exchange for our unrighteousness. It's crazy, the amazing love he offers us and the grace. We're made new creature in Christ. Hope you're not offended, but as I shared last week, it's like a cat becoming a dog. I know that offends some people. I don't know what to do about it. You can switch the metaphor. It's fine. But it is embarrassing when a dog acts like a cat. I mean, you don't want a dog running around all aloof and ignoring you and meowing. No, you want them to jump up on your lap and lick you and chase cars. You know, you don't want a dog walking around meowing. That's just embarrassing. So when a new believer still acts like an unbeliever, it's very similar. So today we're going to see Paul teach the believer needs to change. We need to change our clothes, our spiritual clothes. First, we see that we need to take off our earthly clothes. Look at verses 5 through 11 of chapter 3. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Here's the list. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, what he's talking about here applies to all believers, regardless of where you come from or what you look like. It's for all believers. Now, we dare not take this passage out of context. Paul is not giving us a list of things to not do to become a Christian. Okay, we've already established that it's only his work and our faith and trust in his work that makes us a Christian. He's already taught us in Colossians 2, 13 and 14, and you who are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our trespasses by canceling the record of the debt that stood against us with the legal demands. Wow, as believers, the debt is paid, sins forgiven, and he does a work in us from the inside out, not the outside in. So at salvation, we're justified, made, or declared righteous through faith in the work of Jesus. In our passage today, he's really talking more about our sanctification. You know, our justification, he declares us perfect. One day, our glorification, we will be perfect. It's a little mind-blowing when we receive his glory. It's in the in-between time. Paul says, I press on to become that which he says I have, that which he's given me, and that one day I will become, and I press on to become more like Jesus. So, we're supposed to take off earthly clothes. He gets real specific, starting with several sexual sins. We can't, unpack all of these, but he says we're to put to death sexual immorality. Well, that covers really all sexual activity outside of marriage. Impurity, when we focus on things that aren't pleasing to God, they're impure. Lust, really it's out of control selfishness, taking advantage of someone else and wanting more. Evil desires and greed, exalting our needs at the expense of others. And we want something so bad, Paul says it's actually idolatry. To covet, to demonstrate greed, is actually a form of idolatry. Now, this list isn't exhaustive, and ultimately they are heart sins that play themselves out poorly. And there are other heart sins that play themselves out poorly. That's why we have a new heart when we come to Christ, that we might begin to put to death some of those things we used to walk in. In verse 7, he says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. In other words, these sins are an earthly nature, and we now have a new nature, and we're to walk according to our new nature. You know, the dog's got to now walk like a dog instead of a cat. 1 John 1, 6 and 7 says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So if you say you're a Christian, have fellowship with him, and yet you refuse to walk in the light and do the things he tells us to do, then we are lying to ourselves and lying to him. Paul gives us a long list of things that come from our lips. Look at verse 8. But now you must also rid yourself of such things as anger, rage, malice, slander. Boy, by the way, there's just too much slander going on. For the love of God's word, would you just stop it? And I'm not pointing at any one person, but us. We need to stop it. And he goes on to say, put off filthy language from your lips, obscene, filthy language. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. It's never okay to lie, to share misinformation, or to gossip. Anger, rage, and malice can darken our hearts toward others. And in many ways, Paul's list is the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, those nine elements, you'll see some of them in just a moment. Peace, joy, love, patience, kindness, gentleness. Warren Wiersbe writes, this section completes Paul's exhortation to the Christian to live a holy life. It continues the illustration of garments we're to put off and put on. He exhorted his readers to put off the grave clothes of sin and put on the grace clothes of the new life. Do you hear that? We're to put off the grave clothes, our old nature, and put on our new grace clothes. So let's take off our earthly garments. Second, we need to put on our heavenly clothes. Look at verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if you have a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all those, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Notice before Paul instructs us what to put on, he reminds the Colossians who they are and their identity in Christ. I mean, they're God's chosen people, holy, set apart for his service, and dearly loved. You know, that could change our whole perspective if we just could remember that we're chosen by God to live out his purpose every day and that he loves us so dearly. He then goes on to describe eight gracious qualities, grace clothes, that we must put on. It's not enough to take off our old worldly clothes. We need to put something back on. And I think these eight qualities are part of what he's talking about when he says, set your mind on things above, which we looked at last week. These things are like Christ. Christ is above, and that's where you've been seated too. And so think on these things. Very similar to the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5. Let's look at the list. Number one is compassionate hearts. The King James says bowels of mercy, because to really get passionate, you have to love from your intestines, okay? We would say you got to love from your gut. In other words, the deepest part of who you are. We actually say love from your heart, but you know that was the Greek Jewish mindset, love from your bowels. Actually, the New King James says, put on tender mercies. In other words, believers are to identify with the hurts of others with tenderness and compassion. Compassion has this idea of really caring and coming alongside someone. We're to put that on. Second, kindness. We were saved by the kindness of God, so we in turn need to be kind to others. One commentator I read used the example of David showing kindness to Mephibosheth. Now, he was the grandson of Saul, and Saul wanted to kill him, David. And he's also the son of Jonathan. He was a crippled young man and poor. And so to show kindness to the house of Saul, instead of retribution, he brings in this crippled young man, and he lives in the palace, and he eats at the king's table. And that's a picture of kindness. Third, humility. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself, but thinking rightly of yourself. God is God, and we are not. We need to put on the mind of Christ each day, thinking of the Lord and others first. Lord, you're in control of today. What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to reach out to? Keep me mindful of others today. Fourth, meekness. Meekness is not weakness. In fact, it's strength under control. Often the picture is used of a wild horse. Grace and I just watched Black Beauty. And neither here nor there, but we did. And just to see that, you know, wild stallion be broken and then under control of this troubled teen who they came to have a special relationship with is really what God wants to do with us with His Spirit. Break us so we are under His control. And we don't fly off the handle, and we can give a gentle answer to those who may be rough around the edges. You know, I don't really care about what I wear too much, and some of you noticed that I don't care enough about that. My wife has trained me a little bit. Actually, my daughter Bethany did a lot. Hope she's not watching. But at least I know to flip my brown belt around with my brown shoes and then flip the black one with the black shoes. I know that much. But, I had to learn it, to be honest with you. It's really embarrassing to have them different if you didn't know that. So, it's not so much what we wear each and every day. It's what we put on for the Lord that matters. This one, patience. Lord, help me put on patience today. Patience, someone once said that patience is the ability to wait without irritation. With the Spirit's help, this person, the patient person, waits on the Lord without irritation. Waits on others without irritation. What a difference our day would be if we asked the Lord, Lord, I need to put on patience today. You know, when you're in the parking lot and somebody beats you to the spot, sometimes you find out later it's a little old lady, and you're really mad at her, and you're like, I need more time with the Lord. Or you're in the long line that's not moving at the department store, and it's not the clerk's fault, probably. But to be patient. Is that when I feel that irritation come in, I'm like, Lord, I know I need to put patience back on. Help me. And by the way, it is a work of the Spirit, but it is an acknowledgement that we need that and we want to put it on and we need to yield to the Spirit to that. Number six, load bearer. I love this one. This word literally means to hold up or to hold back. Paul says we're to put on a willingness to bear the load of others. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. When we hold up one another's burdens, we are fulfilling the law of Christ, which says, love your neighbor as yourself. Load bearers. Sometimes in my time of prayer in the morning, reading the Bible, I am just like, Lord, who do I need to reach out today? Who's carrying a heavy load? And I might just send a quick text right then, or I make a note to contact them, because there are people all around us carrying loads, and we're to be load bearers. Number seven, forgiveness. Warren Wiersbe writes, it's not enough that Christians must endure grief and provocation and refuse to retaliate. I mean, that's a given. He or she must also forgive the troublemaker. If he doesn't, then feelings of malice will develop. It is Christ-like to forgive. Paul reminds us that we must forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. And why is the very central element of what got us into the Christian faith is sometimes the hardest thing to do, even within the body. But we're called to put on forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. The last one he mentions is love. And every day we need to put on love. Warren Wiersbe again writes, when love rules in our hearts, it unites all these spiritual virtues so there's beauty and harmony, indicating spiritual maturity. This harmony and maturity helps a life balanced and growing. So we're rooted in Christ. We need to be built up in Christ. And we can't do that without the love of Christ. And 1 Corinthians 13 even says, if we have all these things, if we do all these things, but we don't have love, we're just a clanging cymbal. So, Lord, put love on today. And I think when Jesus said, you know, if anyone wants to follow me, he needs to deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow. I think Christ had it so much in mind, but surely these things that we put on every day are a form of denying self and taking up our cross and going after Jesus. So we take off our earthly clothes, our grave clothes, and we put on our spiritual clothes, our grace clothes. And lastly, we enjoy the results. Look at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When we put off our old grave clothes and put on our new grace clothes, and we all do that together, granted in various stages, there seems to be this incredible result that we can enjoy some things together. When we walk in compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, load-bearing, forgiveness, and love, we first see four things. The peace of Christ. He says it's the peace of Christ that needs to rule our hearts. This idea of Christ ruling our hearts, I think, from what I understand, is like a referee or an official, an umpire. So in other words, when there's a dispute, we don't have a lot of rules to go to, right? But we have the peace of Christ that rules our hearts. And we get to enjoy that peace together because we're walking in kindness and humility and love and gentleness. I mean, Jesus said in John 14 that he would leave us his peace. John 16, 33, he says that his peace is based on the fact that he's overcome the world. When we get a new wardrobe, we get to enjoy his peace. Second, we get to enjoy the message of Christ. He says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. You see, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection and all its implications not only bring us to salvation, but we're told to enjoy the message. Let it dwell in you richly, because it's not just for your salvation. It's for every aspect of your life. It's to permeate and move through every area of your life, and you will enjoy it. Let the message of Christ just break forth. Let the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection take on every day. What a blessing to have changed from our old clothes to our new spiritual clothes to just enjoy the message of Christ, the gospel, what it means for us every day. That's why we continue to teach the gospel, the message of Christ, that it might mature us as well as save us. Third thing we get to enjoy is the worship of Christ. What enjoyment it is to sing. Now, I know not everybody likes to sing. And I love to sing. You can catch me singing. And sometimes it's embarrassing. I even have my mic on sometimes. And think, Pastor, your mic's on. I'm like, I'm glad I was singing and not talking about anybody. You know, I don't know. No, just singing. Sometimes I'm in my car and I'm singing. But to sing with you is different. There's something about singing corporately. And what enjoyment we have. In fact, look at this. He said, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. You hear the enjoyment of just singing together and being grateful. And Mark Manel writes, even at this early stage in the church's history, it seems there was a variety in singing. It seems reasonable to assume they sang a combination of scriptural songs and contemporary compositions. You know, those first century contemporary songs, I'm sure, were really good, along with singing the psalms and scripture. I love to preach, but I want you to know I also love to sing. And I love to sing with you. And that's why we do what we do here. We sing and we preach. We sing and we preach. The fourth thing we get to enjoy is the glory of Christ. He says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So when you entered into a saving relationship with Jesus and you've changed the old attitudes into the new, and granted that's a process, every day changes. All of a sudden, every day is for God's glory. Every moment is for God's glory. And he said, embrace that and be grateful. Every time I hear the word thankful, I also hear the word enjoyment. I mean, it's really hard to be thankful and, you know, and not really enjoyment. No, we're grateful. We're enjoying the glory of God. And we're seeing the glory of God everywhere. And when we were walking in compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, load-bearing, forgiveness, everything we do is for the glory of God. So we wake up and we're like, God, today's yours. Today's for your honor and glory. Lead me, guide me. I just want to enjoy doing the best I can for you. And that means I may find somebody to share the gospel with or encourage, or that may mean I go do a drudgery-filled job for God's glory, not your boss. Now, Paul seems to teach the very same thing in Ephesians 5. He says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give God the Father thanks for everything. That means you're enjoying everything. I mean, that's proper. You're enjoying everything because you're giving thanks to the Lord and you're giving Him glory for it. So, let's take off our earthly grave clothes and put on our new grace, heavenly clothes, and let's enjoy the results with one another. So, how do you respond to Paul's text this morning? First, just have to ask the question. Have you entered into a new life with Jesus? You can't get there on your own. Many of us want to be self-made people, and we cannot self-make ourselves into heaven. You can't get there on your own efforts. Jesus came to rescue you, rescue me. And He paid everything, paid the price that you might have heaven and be reconciled to the Father. But all you have to do is say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. I confess Him as Lord, acknowledging who He is, and then I believe in my heart that he died on the cross and that God raised him back from the dead. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that you'll be saved. So, as we preach the gospel, as we enjoy the message of Christ, we invite you to come to faith in Christ. But believer, I want to remind you, you're a new creation. Would you please go home and use the metaphor whichever best fits your family? By the way, I have a cat who loves me. I don't know why. Homer's his name. And Homer and I have a special bond that I do not understand. But whatever metaphor works for you. If the cat's become a dog, quit acting like a cat. And put off things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lying. Put all that off. That list is not exhaustive, by the way. You may just want to ask the Holy Spirit, what do I need to crucify today, Lord? You might be surprised what he reveals to you. And then say, Lord, I want to put on something new. I want to be more like you. I want to put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, load-bearing, forgiveness, and love. And let's enjoy the peace of Christ, the message of Christ that dwells with us richly. Let's enjoy the worship of Christ, and let's enjoy the glory of Christ each and every day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day, for Paul's message to us to change our clothing. And Lord, I'm so grateful. And as we walk this journey together, rooted in Christ, that you would build us up in Christ. We know we're hidden in Christ. Now may we look more and more like Jesus. Paul says, I press on to take hold of that which he has freely given me. Wow. So Paul knew he had been freely given righteousness. So he then pressed on to take hold of that which was given him. And we know from other writings in Paul and other places, one day that righteousness will actually be made complete and we will be in your glory, with your glory. So thank you for this encouragement to change our grave clothes to grace clothes. And that we might walk in newness of life. And we might enjoy the benefits, the peace of Christ, the message of Christ, the worship of Christ, and the glory of Christ each and every day. So, Lord, if there's one or two who have yet to enter into faith with Christ and just declare him Lord and Savior, I pray your Holy Spirit would draw them into a relationship. I would love to talk to them and just walk through a little bit more about what it means to be a Christian. So now we give this time to you. Help us as we sing in response. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're able, stand, join.